The title of my homily this afternoon is Remembering Your Baptism. Remembering Your Baptism. If you have been baptized according to the scriptural pattern, that is, by immersion upon an evident profession of faith, then it is worth remembering. Your baptism was not meant to be forgotten. It was not an unimportant one-time event that no longer has meaning. It had value at the time of your immersion, and it continues to have meaning for your Christian life. We know this because of the way the Bible describes and uses baptism. Now, many of the uses of the word baptize or baptism in the Gospels describe the act, but the rest of the New Testament doesn't so much describe occurrences of baptism as how we ought to think about or think from or put meaning into our present life because of baptism. So I'm going to ask for you to very quickly recall with me certain passages that contain baptism. Recall with me that according to Matthew 28:19, in baptism, God places his name upon you through the church. The triune God makes a personal and covenant claim upon you. He publicly takes you to be one of his own. In other words, in baptism, he makes an open commitment to you to be your God. This is not something to take lightly or to forget. And in times of doubt, it's helpful to recall that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have covenanted with you to be your God. And not only that, but have publicly declared that commitment by giving you their name. You are now a Christian. You belong to God. And he belongs to you. And it was even announced for all to hear at the time of your baptism. Amen. As a Christian, if you wonder, has God forgotten me? Does he still care for me? Remember what he declared to you in the waters. He claimed you with an oath.
Yes. Amen.
And so he will never leave you or forsake you. So remember your baptism. Recall a second occurrence. Recall also that by grace and in faith, at your baptism, you responded to God with what Peter calls in 1 Peter 3:21, a pledge or a vow or an appeal. Just like in your conversion, God in your baptism calls to you and you answer him in faith. So when you are struggling with your commitment to Christ, remember, you made a binding vow to God in the waters. Be struck by the serious nature of that covenant promise. Let the fear of offending God guard you from wandering away from him. This is another way to remember your baptism. Recall that in Ephesians 4:5, one of the great unities of the truth is baptism. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. When you are tempted to lose patience with another baptized believer, remember your baptism. You share it with your brother. Christ died, was buried, and rose again for him and for you. Your baptism does not teach you that you alone are united to Christ. It teaches that you are both part of the elect given by the Father to the Son, who lived and died for them both and claimed them for his own in baptism. Understand the unity represented by your baptism and be patient with your brother. Remember your baptism. Recall in Romans 6, the passage we just read, that baptism portrays the believer's union with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. It pictures that you were with Christ in his living, you were with Christ in his dying by crucifixion, and you were with him in his rising to life. So the power that was Christ's for these things now belongs to you. Your baptism loudly preaches that you are dead to sin and alive to righteousness. So when you wrongly think that sin still enslaves you, it's not just present and bothering you, but actually enslaves you, remember your baptism. It pictured that you were crucified with Christ and you are now dead to sin. How can you live in sin any longer? And when you wonder if you have the strength necessary to live for Christ, remember your baptism. It showed that you were raised to life with Christ. And so you now walk in newness of life. Remember your baptism. Recall a similar truth from Galatians 3:27, which says very plainly and maybe even shockingly to some of you, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Still think baptism is a small thing? Think again. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptism is an opportunity to exercise faith again in Christ and put him on, as the verse says. A very public dressing, if you will. Yes, I know it's really at regeneration that your old self was put off and the new came. Christ is now your life. So you are righteous in God's eyes, and Christ lives in you by his Spirit. But baptism displays all of this, and it's a way of God graciously picturing for you what he has done for you and in you in salvation. So the life you are now living is not your own. Is Christ's. So take heart. Baptism shows that God is living in you and sanctifying you. Right? I mean, that's what this whole thing is about here in chapter 6. We've shown how in the earlier chapters you were dead to sin and then God justified you. Well, now, why do you have hope for sanctification? One of the answers is you were baptized. Now, some of you might be saying, this isn't sounding very Baptist church life-like. Study the passages. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Amen. See what his gifts throughout the church have explained this as. It's very easy to object. And let me give you two objections and two quick answers, and then we'll be done. One objection is, but maybe my baptism was false. Now, many of us have been baptized wrongly. Many of us have been baptized and we found out later we weren't a Christian. We weren't really united to Christ. And so the picture couldn't picture that, even though it was supposed to. It didn't, because we were not united to Christ by faith. Yes, it's possible, of course, for a baptism to be false. But if you, in simple faith, identified with Christ and received God's name upon you, the triune name, then it was a valid baptism. And therefore, very meaningful. So remember it. Don't remember it for any imperfections that you brought to it in your faith or in the circumstances. But remember the meaning that God himself has invested into baptism. Remember, it's a sign. It's a God-ordained picture. It means something. So count God's word true about baptism, even above your own feelings, and rightly apply the word of God to yourself. A second objection. But shouldn't I be looking back to my salvation experience? Or shouldn't I just be looking to Christ when I face the kinds of struggles that you described? I mean, aren't you putting too much emphasis on baptism? sounds awfully sacerdotal or even Roman Catholic, what you've just taught. Well, of course you can look at these other things, the work of God in your life and Jesus Christ. Of course you can do that. The Bible tells you to do that. But you should also do what Peter and Paul have just repeatedly told us to do, to remember your baptism, understand what it meant for you as God defines it, and live accordingly. So look back at your baptism and do the other things as well to strengthen your confidence in God's work in you and to forge ahead in sanctification. Amen. Brethren, believe this God-ordained picture of the gospel and be at peace. You see, the message is the same. It's believe and be at peace. The sacraments were given to strengthen our weaknesses. They are gifts from God. Baptism is a meaningful gift from God. So let's use it in the intended way and bring glory to God and benefit ourselves.
Amen.
Our brother Carlo is now going to lead us in prayer.